Coach, what can you tell us going into this week on Mark Scheifele's status?
He's getting better, but he won't go tonight. He skated this morning, felt incrementally stronger each day. This is not a long-term injury, and it's not something that once it gets cleaned up that we will have to monitor for going forward, but he won't go tonight.
How about the rest of your group, the guys that we haven't seen for a while?
Tyler Mitre skated this morning for the first time since his injury. We think we're still on track for our Mia mid to late December. We're on track with Matthias late December, early January. And Nick Batan is still a good 10 days out, maybe 2 weeks. That one, there's a bigger window on when he gets back feeling good. Am I missing anybody?
How about a timetable for Myers? Is it?
No timetable. He just has to skate 10 minutes today, 15 minutes tomorrow with no setbacks until we can push him. This one's been tougher for us because you can't skate with it. So he's been off, I believe, 3.5 weeks now. So there's going to be a bit of a lag to him getting back to full power.
Is it related to his off-season surgery? Or
no, it's not.
Else?
No.
There's been a lot of talk about the concussion protocol. I know I heard your interview yesterday. Which game was it that you had the four guys pulled? Was it the LA game?
It was early, and I don't remember, but they were all quick. It was, Spotter had a lot of caffeine that night.
What are your thoughts in general on that process?
And it's outstanding. It? Yeah, completely. It's going to bite everybody in the butt at some point. You're going to lose a player off your bench that you don't want to lose at that point in time. Of course, you never want to lose anybody, but for long-term health, I think it's outstanding.
Do you think the stigma's changing? The fact guys don't think they have to play?
There is none in that room. But there hasn't, we never, like going back right to my first year, as far as what we knew about concussions, we were applying the best knowledge that we had, and it was something that we really didn't want anybody to deal with. So it was always on our radar. We're just getting better and better information now to handle these things better, and there isn't anybody uncomfortable with it. And the players, so we've had a few guys miss time here this year, and the marching orders are always not a day before. We're just, because we do know that the more significant, more seriously they're treated, or maybe even cautiously they're treated earlier, the number of man games lost to those has gone way down. So if you get to it early and you do all the right things that you can as soon as you can and you're as cautious as you can, you're going to lose fewer man games. So everybody's on board with it.
So the game that you had the four guys, you joke about the spotter being hypersensitive to it, but they weren't obvious ones then? Kind of borderline ones like Connors, or
no, because you can't know. I mean, we've seen guys take huge hits and they go in and they come back out and they're fine, and we've seen guys take really light bumps, go in and not come back out. So you can't look at it and know, and that's why it's going to be. You're going to look at video and say, why did this guy have to come off? If somebody thinks he needs to come off, he needs to come off.
So is it fair that a spotter from somewhere else is doing that though, as opposed to someone there looking in his eyes?
Well, yes, it is fair, because that person's not looking at his eyes on the ice when it happens. Everybody's away from the play. So if they see something, regardless on TV, they see it, then you get somebody who's right here to assess it. I have absolutely no problem with it. I think they're bang on with it, and I think it's gonna help hockey players play more games and be more healthy.
Would you prefer if the spotter was in your building?
But there are times there are, right? Yeah, so, yeah. But there are spotters in the building because there are on our bench. We aren't sacrificing a 10 minutes of a hockey game for 3 games, 2 months, an entire career to be wrong on something like that. We're not. So if anybody takes a pop, they're going in to get checked. And you're not going to see, I mean, you guys maybe know, the bench is a terrible place to watch the game from. There's whole pieces of the ice you don't see. So you need people away from that bench level to make the call.
Just based on that, notice more and more you and guys on your bench, after something happens on the ice, you're looking down at your... you've got a
monitor.
Yeah, just for fans that I've been asked a lot about this.
Why is he staring at his feet after something bad happens?
I didn't mean it like that.
No, it's exactly what I look like, because your camera's only on you when something bad happens. and now you're, it's the top of your head, right? Because you're staring at it and you're looking at it. But you are, you're checking the blue lines. So those are running at the same time. I like it.
What angle is it, Paul? Like, is it the TV or is it an all?
So we get, you know, you'll have your program feed, and then we get all the Hawkeye feeds. You get the blue lines and those kind of things. And my guy's running the feed in the video, so we're cursing at him to roll it back further. So it's great in most buildings. The ones that are on the board here that are, you can't see, and there's a couple in the hallway. Those don't work particularly well, but the one here works great.
So when you're going to challenge an offside, you've got your guy in the back in the dressing room. You're communicating with him to make that decision?
No, I'll make the decision. So as soon as that puck crosses the line, before the puck goes in the net, anything that's close across the line, he's not watching the video anymore. He's checking it. And if it's anything close, it's on the monitors down low, and then I'll make that decision. On the floor and the bench? On the floor. In most buildings, yeah, new this year. In most buildings. Some buildings, for whatever reason, they put it on the wall behind you, which is nearly impossible to see. There's a couple that are in the VOM, which are hard to get to, but for the most part, they're right on the floor. Yeah.
Paul, you have a couple of young wingers with Brian Little. What can they learn from having a veteran center?
Well, more than a veteran, it's a center iceman that is a skilled guy. Do you need a minute? You all right? Okay. A skilled guy that has played in the role of playing against the other team's best, that's had to play well defensively. So we've got two skilled guys on his wings right now, and he will talk to them on the bench differently about the game than a pure skilled centerman who's three guys talking, how do we create more offense? Brian will be talking about, how do we play the game the right way, where I need you in the defensive zone. That puck's got to go out. That puck's got to go in. Because we've used him in that role for 2.5 years that I've been here anyway. He plays against the other team's best. Now, we've got other people developing into that. Right now it's Wheeler and Lowry. We'll take on most of that. But he still views the game the right way, the same way. So what players always learn more from the guy they're sitting beside on the bench than the coaches in behind, always. They remember that stuff. They speak a slightly different language, and they spend more time with them. So having Brian there talking about the game in the right way, in a way that can really, I think, for both those young men, develop their game so that they can be on the ice 6-on-5 at some point in their career, which is where a lot of those guys get some pretty meaningful goals, right? And they can play at times against the other team's best, which drives their minutes up, which means they'll play more.
One last thing about the spotter. It does get trickier when a goalie is involved. Would you like to see the league change the way that is?
Well, they can't.
No?
Well, no, because all the brains are the same. Goalies are a little different. But
I'm thinking of in terms of warming up, backup, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think I can understand why they're sensitive to it. If you got to take a goaltender off, we're going to have a really long warm-up, right? And I know they're blowing the whistles, but we may not be able to get those pucks off quite fast enough, and we'll take our time with that, and they don't want that to come into the game. But it's got to be the exact same rules if they think he's – and it's a tough one because some of those shots that go off the mask are pretty strong, but – I like the idea that they keep working on trying to make this better. And most importantly, before what all we think, in our locker room, our players are very in tune to how important it is that they do it right, that they are the key drivers in all this, that the one of the questions was the stigma, that that's the most important thing that's gone. If you take a shot now and you don't feel right, the best thing you can do for our hockey team is get checked out to make sure. Because if we can shut you down for 2 days, it's so much better than losing you for 2 months.